Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Hey guys, welcome back. Adam Ray here. You might have heard that I said boobs in the teaser. Well, I wanted to get your attention. First of all, hope you're having a great start to the week. It is Tuesday when the episodes drop now. Welcome. Welcome to the new day of the new show. New show. Same host. Who dis? Different day. Right out of the gate, boobs. Saw a guy with a shirt off in Miami. Big male boobs. You don't get to see him a lot. Every guy who isn't fucking, CrossFit superstar or Dan Bilzerian or Brad Pitt, if you're not in shape, you probably got, same with me, moobs, man boobs. Every guy's got a little loose pocket of dairy floating around their titties. But this guy, I had to do a double take and then a triple take and then... And then go get a taste to make sure that he was not a woman. He looked like a guy. It was a guy. It was definitely a guy. He was wearing a man's bathing suit. And he was walking around like a dude. You could just tell. And they weren't women's breasts. You could tell. They were man's breasts that looked like women's breasts. Maybe felt like women's breasts. I don't know. I didn't ask if I could feel. But love the confidence. Love the shirtless confidence. As a former Fat Kid wore his t-shirt when I swam, I love your confidence. Were people staring? Yeah. Were people laughing? You betcha. Were people judging this guy? Yeah. Could he feel it? No. He had blinders on. He had donut pupils. He had sugar glasses. You know what I'm saying? All he could see was snacks. He couldn't see your hate. You know? And that's what I love about Miami, I guess, in general. I've only been there a handful of times for the Super Bowl. And Mark Sanchez and I interviewed Miles Teller, which that is an old About Last Night episode. It was for our football podcast, Fourth and Forever. That shut down shop, put it up as an About Last Night episode. Go check that out. Miles Teller, gangster, still homies with him. Great guy, great actor. Got to get him on the Dr. Phil live show. Speaking of which, have you guys bought your live stream tickets yet? We're a week away. We're less than a week away. May 6th, Dr. Phil Live at the Comedy Store. First ever live stream, baby. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go to drphillive.tv and get your live stream ticket. We're going big on this one. The same guys that do Kill Tony and YMH are doing the Dr. Phil live stream. The guests include Bert Kreischer. The guests include Mark Normand. The guests include Dr. Pimple Popper. And the guests include the Goo Goo Dolls. Oh, yeah, and special surprise guests. The shows are always a blast and a banger. This one is going to be insane. I can't wait. Putting the show together as we speak. Take some time to kind of scribe out what I want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Just figuring out what is the show, you know? What are the games we're going to play? What are the questions I'm going to ask, you know? But, man, we got a lot of fun stuff to choose from. So that's exciting. Again, drphillive.tv. Get your tickets. The link is right there. DrPhilLive.tv. What are you waiting for? Monday, May 6th. Come on out. The Netflix as a Joke Fest is a wild time. It's, I think, in its second year. I'm on a handful of shows this year, which I dig. I got my own solo show at Hotel Cafe on May 7th. Tickets are still available for that. Got about 30 tickets left, so come out to that. And then I'll be popping up on some other shows here and there. I can't totally say when and where, but I will be. Man, did two Dr. Phil shows at the Mothership in Austin at Joe Rogan's The Comedy Mothership. Been down there a bunch, done a handful of Kill Tonys. Thank you for all the Elaine Kill Tony love. We'll come back to that in a second. These shows sold out in about 15 to 20 minutes at the Mothership. Comedy fans times 10 down there. And I think I've been down there enough and doing the Dr. Phil on Kill Tony before the New Year shows that popped off at the Mothership really gave me a nice following down there. And, man, appreciate you guys coming out. Had a blast. The first show was Tony Hinchcliffe, Cam Patterson, and William Montgomery as the guest. Show two was Brian Simpson and Harlan Williams and Heath Cordes. And just a blast. I mean, all first-timers. Excuse me on this show. Oh, man. Didn't see that yawn coming. That's what she said. I did not feel tired walking in here, but man, yawns are creeping up these days. You wonder too, is that me getting tired or am I slowly passing away? So we did the shows and it was a blast. A new thing to do a show you're used to. Again, only eight times. We've only done the Dr. Phil show eight times in Los Angeles. But you know, there is a formula now and a rhythm to it, and we had to adjust. The screen at the Mothership, you can't really use it because the lighting distorts it. It kind of blurs it out when the lights are on, so you can't really see. You have to turn the lights all the way off. But I didn't want to keep the screen up and have it kind of washed out halfway up, you know? So we got around it. We made a new approach to doing the commercial breaks. I read a few scripted commercials. I had William Montgomery do one. We had an audience member come up and do one. So it was actually a blast. But the space is great. It's similar to the Comedy Store main room. Holds close to 300. Intimate, fun. And man, the crowds were electric. So that first show with Tony, William, and Cam Patterson drops May 8th. Flyers on my Instagram. Check it out. We'll put it up right there. May 8th, my YouTube. Subscribe. You got to subscribe to my YouTube. Subscribe to the ALN YouTube for sure. But subscribe to my YouTube because that's where you get all the stand-up and Phil content. Which, by the way, Phil came out on Steve-O's podcast and said some nice words. We'll cut to that clip.
Our good buddy Adam Ray has been making some pretty big waves dressing up as you.
I'm going to have him come out as me sometime at the top of the show. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to have him come out at me and see how long it takes him to say, wait a minute, that's not right. Hold on, that's not right. People get all bent out of shape if somebody's out joking around and stuff. Come on, get over yourself.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing in life is take life seriously, but just don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm flattered. I was pleased to hear what he was doing. Apparently he's a great guy and is having
really
a good time.
You think he's doing a good job impersonating you?
I think he does pretty good. He needs to put a few extra syllables in a few words. Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Thanks for the shout out, Phil. Thanks for the love. We're going back and forth trying to figure that out. It'll be a surprise to everybody when he does finally meet the other Phil. Can't wait for that. Just got to get the details, find the right venue, the right show, you know, and make sure we capture it. But he's also talked about me coming to his studio to do some bits, so we'll figure all that out. But Austin is a great comedy city. They're just crushing it. People are so fired up to go to the Mothership all the time, which is so rad. And it was a blast to do the shows. Shout out to Joe for letting me do the show there. Of course, Adam Egget, the booker, for lining the shows up. All the guests for crushing it. Jeremiah Watkins stayed a couple days from Moon Tower to do his part of the show and was awesome. And it was just a good learning experience of like, okay, cool. Because we got two shows coming up Not only in June at the Comedy Store, June 4th and June 26th, which are sold out, and July 9th, which is sold out, but we added two theater shows in Portland and Seattle. Portland at the Aladdin Theater and Seattle at the Neptune, which used to be a movie theater. And in 2001, my senior year of high school, before I moved to L.A. to go to college at USC here in L.A., I saw Blair Witch Project. Maybe it was 2001, maybe it was 99, but the Neptune was a movie theater, and now it's a really cool comedy theater. So we're going to try out a Dr. Phil show there. As of right now, there are 10 tickets left out of 1,000 for the Seattle show, and we're 2 months away. The Aladdin sold out. I think it's 700 seats, and it sold out. Wow. Maybe we add a second one. I don't know yet. Stay tuned. TBD, TMI, YOLO, fuck it. But, man, thank you. You know? This just gives me a little bit of juice as far as like maybe I'm going to do this at other spots in bigger venues and just throw some Hail Marys on first down and see what fucking happens. If you guys want to come out, then we'll figure out the show. You know, that's all I can say. But pumped for those, man. That's a hometown Seattle show and Portland, you know, right down the street, trying to go big on those ones. Again, everybody in Austin, thanks for coming out to the Mothership shows. June 4th, June 26th, and July 9th are the next Comedy Store shows. I have announced the guests for the June 4th show. It's Dax Shepard, Sal Vulcano, and Rick Glassman. Oh, my. And surprises, as always. Oop, just threw up in my mouth. I have been busy. Austin was wild. I was in Miami before that. And then Denver before that. Denver Comedy Works. Let me just say this about Denver Comedy Works. Holy shit. I've been to that club maybe 10, 12 times. And if you add in the Denver South Comedy Works, maybe 20 to both clubs. Never sold out a weekend. First time selling out a weekend at the downtown club, which is the historic one. And we added a show and we sold that out. So six shows, about 1,800 tickets, and man, the shows were electric. I'm still going through all the footage to put together a best of and more clips, but man, you guys came out, bought a lot of merch. I spent hours talking after the show. You know, it's really important to me to connect with people and give people moments and you know, figure out how you found me. And people flew out from New York, and there was a group from Wyoming that drove 6 hours, and a group from Texas that drove there. These two dudes drove there, and were driving back that night. And then they said, no, we're just getting a hotel. I was like, fucking thank God. That would be the terrible idea, because they were both hammered. But just, it's cool to get to know how you guys are jumping on this train, and I really appreciate all the love and the nice words after the shows. So it's important. It's another show. It is exhausting, but you know, I'm riding such a high anyway. It's like I'd rather put that into chatting it up with you guys than sitting in the green room and just scrolling on Instagram. Do you know what I'm saying? So appreciate all you guys coming through, wanting to say what's up, take a pic. And the shows were bananas. Comedy Works just does it right. Shout out to Tanya, who's been there for a handful of years and is always so accommodating and takes good care of us in the green room and at the club. And Ashley and Josh and Wendy, of course, who runs the joint. Shout out to you guys. Comedy Works, just crushing it. Just crushing it, man. We'll be back. We'll be right back. Maybe with the Dr. Phil live show. Who knows, player? I did bring that up, and people went fucking bananas. So I got to stop doing that and stop dick teasing people and just, you know, actually say it if I'm going to do it, because people went wild. But who knows? That is a venue that's very conducive for it as well. So, again, thanks to Comedy Works. Amazing weekend. Got a bunch of weekends coming up. AdamRayComedy.com for those tour dates. I mean, coming up next, I want to say it's Tacoma, Washington. Chicago with Matt Rife. Of course, after the Dr. Phil shows, Chicago with Matt Rife at the end of May at the Chicago Theater. And then Tacoma, Washington, June 13th through the 15th. And Hilarities in Cleveland, June 18th through the 20th. And then, I think in July it's Boston, La Jolla, San Diego, La Jolla, California, San Diego, same shit, Comedy Store down there. Boston, Jersey, Connecticut, and then San Francisco, back at the Punchline, one of my favorite clubs in the world, at the end of the month, which carries us into August, which then is, some stuff that I can't talk about yet. All those tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Come out and see the show. I'm having a blast. The special is dropping soon. We're trying to figure out the deets. I think it's going to be June. Stay tuned on that. But man, the traveling has gotten a little out of control. Went from Denver to flew Sunday morning, landed in Austin, went, they lost my bag, had to buy a new suit, went right into makeup, and then right to the mothership for two Dr. Phil shows. Wow. Was I tired? Yeah. Was I riding the adrenaline? Oh, yeah. Did I need it? Yeah. Blah, blah. If ever there was a time to do cocaine, this would have been it. Traveling took it out of me. Sleeping on the planes is a fucking bummer. You're just like, you just can't get comfy, dude. I had a couple flight attendants that were a little lippy. I always give benefit of the doubt. I go, dude, you've been flying all day. It fucking sucks. People are probably more often than not just like, give me another Sprite, you bitch. People aren't nice on planes. They're not horrible, but I've observed more people that are a little more like, can I, you know, it's like, dude, you got the fucking bell. Ring the bell. Don't snap on a plane. So I get it. But man, when you're tired and people are like, hello, drink, you're like, oh, sorry, I was sleeping. I thought you saw that. But no, I'm fine. You sure? It's a 5-hour flight. Yeah, I think when I said I'm fine, it means I'm fucking fine. But I'll let you know by pressing that button or snapping like the dickhead across the way. Oof, by the way, I think I fucking pulled my finger out of its socket. You ever do that? I have a scratch on my nose for some reason. I think I was attacked by a Wolverine in my NyQuil dream. But this finger is fucking, dude, I can't go farther than that. This one go, well, it's about the same, but I don't know, dude. My fingers are getting real wonky. Good thing I'm not in eighth grade trying to finger somebody with this thing. It's the, dude, go-go gadget, yikes. But I digress. The traveling's getting too much. People are Looney Tunes and Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on the plane. I'd say there's no shortage of people that want to go before you when you exit the plane. Bill Burr has a great bit about boxing people out, boxing out an old woman and giving her an elbow. And I get it, man. It is row by row by row by row. It's not fucking let me see if I can go because I'm two rows back and I want to get off the plane first. And the people that always hurry off the plane are never in a real hurry. They're just like, I want to be first. And then they fucking shove and rummage by you. And I think at that point, it's game on. You know what I'm saying? Wayne Campbell said it in Wayne's World. Game on. And I think he meant elbowing people in the throat if they try to go first off the plane. That being said, the shows have been great. Miami was great. The Fan Theater, new spot, loved it. Denver Comedy Works, great. Mothership, great. Did Two Bears, One Cave with Tom and Bert as Phil. That's coming out soon, I think May 6th. Wow, so fun. Went to a strip club as Dr. Phil. That was wild. After the show, Bert goes, strip club? I was like, yeah, I mean, it's two. Isn't this the time you're supposed to go? So we went to the strip club, and I got up, and I asked the manager if I could dance as Dr. Phil. And he goes, what song? I go, Matchbox 20, 3 a.m., and play it from the beginning, player. And, well, let's just cut to a clip.
We'll be right back. We'll keep her out of here. Holy shit.
Not bad. I was exhausted. Woo, baby. I was tired. A lot of running, man, as you could see. A lot of thrusting. A lot of twerking, or, you know, whatever that was. And really trying to work the pole. At the very end, I was trying to legit climb the pole like a firefighter, but there was no way that was happening. There was no fucking way that was happening. A lot of respect to the strippers and the dancers of the world. You guys are working it, man. They threw a lot of ones at me, all the dancers that were there. It was the daytime crew. It was the B squad. But hey, they were fucking bringing a lot to the table, personality-wise. So that was fun. They were sweet. And they were throwing ones on me, probably about $200 in ones. I started to pick them up, and I go, you guys keep them. How fucked up would that have been if I'd been like, leave my cash alone. Fucking get your dirty stripper paws off it. So I let them have that money. That's milk money for the kiddos. And then went from Austin to L.A., and then my wife and I and a couple homies, Melissa Villasenor, my buddy Scott, we went down to Coachella. It's a place where girls wear skirts that show their butts. They don't cover their bodies that much. People are on drugs. People are drunk. They're lying in the grass as well and walking to the depths of hell to get water and booze. Where are my shoes? I'm high as a kite and I just might punch that guy or show him my tits for a beer. It's pretty, pretty clear. Oh, No Doubt's on stage. Ah! No Doubt reunited for the first time in 9 years. Holy shit. Holy shit. No Doubt reunited for the first time in 9 years. And my buddy Scott, one of my dearest friends, is obsessed with No Doubt. And I say obsessed because I mean obsessed. Favorite band. He's got to meet him a bunch. Not obsessed like it's all he talks about. Just, I guess, really is passionate about the band. Knows a lot about them, loves their music, has opinions about Gwen going solo, right? Is invested. So this was a big deal. So we were like, we got to be here for this. And even a buddy of mine was like, dude, send me footage. You know Scott as well. He goes, send me footage of Scott seeing them for the first time, because he knew it was going to be magical. And it was. And here, we'll cut to a clip. Come on. The comments on that on my IG are just like, dude, this guy is my spirit animal. Scott was fucking hammered. He says he wasn't. He was having a good time. He wasn't out of control, but just, in the right place to absorb the greatness of your favorite band reuniting for the first time in 9 years. So much so that he went back the following weekend. But they were great. Coachella's great. It's spread out. It's big. You walk a lot. Saw some influencers, saw a few famous people. It's a shit show. Everyone's, so many people. If you, have anxiety issues about, being around tons of people, I don't recommend it, because it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people and a lot of smells. The people watching is great. Saw a lot of people just making out at different stages in the day. And I go, is that love or drugs? Do you know what I'm saying? Is that ecstasy or camaraderie? Which is it? Either way, man, you saw a bunch of people about to fuck, and that's one thing that a buddy of mine was telling me to look out for. He goes, if you're going to go, just, look out for the people that might fuck on top of you. And you get to see a lot. You get to hear a lot. I heard a lot of things I've never heard. A lot of good people watching, a lot of good eavesdropping at Coachella. I heard a guy go, Coachella and Stagecoach are similar. And we went to Stagecoach this past weekend, which is the country music version of Coachella. Big music festival. Saw my boy Jelly Roll. Ripped it up. His first time at Stagecoach. Fucking ripped it. Who else was there? A guy named Eric Church, big in the country world. Beyonce apparently was there. Didn't get to see her. We just went night one. Nickelback was there. Nickelback. Saw Nickelback for a bit. Honey, I'm gonna be a big, big star in a friend about a big thing, be a rock star. They ripped it, dude. He sounded great. People were fired up, too. Probably 20,000 stuck around to watch them close that night out. But you get to hear a lot. At Stagecoach, here's what I heard. Hey, I'll show you my boobs if you let me have your beer. I also heard, dude, that cowboy hat is gay. And then I heard a guy go, dude, if you fall into that mosh pit, you're fucking dead, dude. You're fucking dead. You go down, no one hears or sees from you for days, and you fucking perish at the bottom of a Nickelback mosh pit, dude. That's your story. What happened to Adam, dude? He got stepped on, trampled on, sat on at the bottom of a Nickelback mosh pit, dude. Shouldn't have been in there. Looked like fun. Went for it. Fell. Boom. Lost his hat. Lost his eye. Lost his life. And that's what people say. Lost his life at a Nickelback mosh pit. And that was me in the mirror on edibles before we went out that night. So, hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode. And look, I'm hungry. I'm hungry and I'm trying to eat soon. But I don't want to go to the store. I don't want to cook anything. So you know what I'm doing? I'm hooking up with Factor. That's right. Second base. They got delicious, ready-to-eat meals all the time, ready for you. Never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's why I love them, because I'm not patient. I want to eat now. When I'm ready, you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan and Veggie, and discover more than 60 add-ons every week. like breakfast on the go, lunch, snacks, beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good and probably give you that little extra blood flow where it counts. You know what I'm talking about. Hashtag boner. What are you waiting for? All right. Start today and fuel up for the springtime, which gets us right into summer, because you want to start feeling good and looking good, and Factor's ready to help you out with that. Meals are on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love doing this spring, like mowing the lawn or fucking prank calling your ex. Look, the meals feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Those are the fancy ones, but there's no fuss. I just threw up in my mouth because I'm so excited to eat Factor food. Okay, there's no cleanup. There's no prepping. You just throw it in wherever you're cooking your food, okay, the micro, the oven, and it's ready to eat, okay? And you can customize your weekly meals with flexibility for as much as, and as little as you need, and they're never going to throw any shade your way. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor's all about convenience, and that's why I love them, okay? So if you're looking to start feeling better and eating better and eating easier, with the best stuff out there. Right now, go to factormeals.com/ALN50 and use promo code ALN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. This is a bananas deal right now, and I know I sound like a pitch guy. You gotta do it now. Are you kidding me? This is a crazy deal, but it is. Okay? Factormeals.com/ALN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Okay? Do it while the subscription is active, which is now. Okay? Are you active? In the bedroom? I know you are. So get active on the site. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your food. Factor. You know, country, I got a new appreciation for it. It's a genre that is constantly being revised. Beyonce. I mean, Jelly Roll even with the rap in the country. I mean, and now Beyonce's coming in trying to kick down the doors and make a name for herself. Darius Rucker did it from Hootie. So good times, great oldies. Did a show at the Pendry Hotel, which is a super ritzy hotel in Newport Beach. Wow. We did it in like this private players club room, like the players club. Like, hey, if you got fucking buckets and buckets of Scrooge McDuck cash, you are a member at the Pendry Hotel in Newport Beach. They had Escalades that you could just take if you were staying there. We went to dinner at a place called Sushi Roku. Phenomenal. And they're like, do you want to take one of our Escalades there? Yeah. Cool, here are the keys. Don't die. And that was cool. That's how you know that hotel is extra special. You know, pillows were great. Bathroom was nice. TV was big. Those are the three checkpoints I walk in. Is there poo-poo on the seat? Awesome. Is the bathroom clean? Nice. Good smelling, like, soap and shampoo? Wow. You pay for it. You pay for what you get. Pillows were in charge. Yeah, it was great. Smoked the J outside on the balcony. But the show was a private club. You pay, somebody told me, $15,000 a year, or up front. I'm sorry, $15,000 up front, and then $750 a month to be a part of this club. You get access to a dining room, a private bar, a private showroom, and then a virtual reality room that kids frequent a lot. But it had a golf simulator and zombie dodgeball and some other bullshit. And we played and we drank. And I talked to some rich people. Man, rich white people. At one point I go, how do I get to where you guys are at? And they all just started laughing. And I was like, I'm serious. It's tough to relate to a super rich person. One guy, I walk up, I go, dude, I got to ask. Those boots were made for walking, but dude, what are they made of? And he was like, they're from the finest pterodactyl labia. I took two endangered pterodactyls and cut off their labias and melted them into a nice boot that my friend Xinghua formed with his hands because he's a boot sculptor. He took the pterodactyl labia and he shaped it into a boot for me to wear to this dinner tonight. That is where they're from. I go, dude, what a story. Thanks for spitting in my eye. And he goes, what about you? What are your shoes? Where are they from? What endangered animal? I go, no animal here, man. These are just classic New Balance from a sweatshop in Tokyo. Yeah, man, being rich looks like a lot of fun. They aren't worried about anything, you know? They're just making plans, talking about what sort of new butt they're going to get and what sort of African safari they just went on. What a life, dude. Talk about it. Talk about money don't buy happiness. I mean, it doesn't, but it does. But, it, you know, I mean, look, I'm going to Europe this summer. Wife and I are going to Europe for the first time. as a couple. I've been. She's never been. She's fired up. Doing some London. Doing some Italy. Doing some Disneyland Paris. Why? Because why the fuck not? Eiffel Tower, yeah, we'll check it out. You know, Emily in Paris, she likes. Went in Rome with Kristen Bell. Got to see the landmarks. The Louvre. Check out the Louvre. See some art. See some paintings. Maybe steal the Mona Lisa. like in Thomas Crown Affair. You ever see that movie with Pierce Brosnan? Unbelievable film. Imagine stealing art from the Louvre. Like, you're in jail. Like, but also, do you go to jail longer for that or killing someone? I want to say murder, but like, people that protect art are really, they protect it. They're almost like, dude, I'd rather you fucking cut me in the mouth with a knife, like Joker style, like cut the side of my, then steal a painting from here, you know? So excited to see that. Yeah, man, summer's already here. How are we feeling about our summer bods? I'm feeling okay. I've been better the last 3 days. But man, when I eat like shit, I just feel it immediately. Face is fucking fat, swollen. I'm chilling on the booze right now for a bit. Gonna probably just puff away at night for the next few days so I can get some good sleep. That's big for me coming up is sleep. 41, feeling good, but need rest. Was pushing it to the limit. Taking it to the streets, taking it to the streets. We were going full Michael McDonald for about 3 months, man. And I could feel it. I was like rounding the corner of fucking passing out while driving. Do you know what I'm saying? Where you're just like, my body is like, it needs a break. Needs to tap out. Needs to tag somebody else in. That's when you need an avatar or a fucking one of those surrogates, like in the movie Surrogate with Bruce Willis. You need another body to go walk around in this meat suit and handle your day-to-day business. Somebody did ask me the other day, I was in the airport. Somebody recognized me, and we started chumming it up. And he was a TSA guy. He goes, Dr. Phil, where you going? I go, dude, what's up? By the way, the TSA pat-downs, getting real handsy. Hey, you're getting handsy. You're getting handsier. Handsy pat-down. Handsy pat-down, which sounds like the guy who got convicted of touching too many wieners at the airport. What was his name? Handsy pat-down. Sounds like a Dick Tracy villain. Or a pervert at the airport. I went through the TSA screening machine and I heard like the noise, but I was like already pretty much through. So I was like, oh, it must be the next guy. And then they stopped me. And I turn around and it didn't even, I don't want to say the guy wanted to touch my dick, but it definitely like, it was like beep, beep, boop, beep, boop. And I was like, did you just make that with your mouth? Like, I'm not sure. Now that I think about it, I think he did make it with his mouth. Like, he was just like, beep, boop, beep, boop. Oh, sorry, man. Got to touch your dick. Those are the rules. Beep, boop, beep, boop. There it goes again. I got to use my mouth now. Just to make sure. But he was a nice guy. And the guy that was with him is the guy who recognized me. And we started chatting. And he got real dark real quick. It's always funny when people would just throw you some would you rathers or just give you some like, yeah, dude, good thing you were flying today and not yesterday because, dude, we had a fucking guy come in and fucking tried to fucking, he just kept screaming bomb and then he was like fucking pulled out like he had a gun on him but it wasn't loaded. I was like, yeah, I guess you got to tell somebody. TSA checkpoint people are like hairdressers. They are just filled with stories and bullshit and it's got to go somewhere. But you're like, hey, man, you know, I love chatting with you, but six people just went through with big unidentified bags. You know, same thing with like a hairdresser. You're like, I love the story about how your cat made friends with a rat, but Susan, you just fucking shaved my head. So focus on the plan instead of shaving sideburns into my mouth. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's just the way people are when they work at the same job over and over. That's why comedy in this business can be so rewarding but taxing, right? It's truly a give and take. But it's the best because once you're in it, you can spawn off on so many other different, you know, podcasting, stand-up, acting, voiceover, whatever. Like, you know, these Dr. Phil shows, something. There's once you get in and find a little bit of a lane and get some reps under your belt, dude, YouTube, look at Trevor Wallace, dude. Blew up on YouTube and social media and now is carving out a nice career for himself. But it starts with just fucking doing. You know, you just got to start doing something. Anytime people hit me up on the IG, and I try to get back to everybody, you know I do. Trying to do more lives, too, just to try to, you know, connect and say what's up. But I get back to every message, man. Short, long, whatever, but I'm getting back. And when people do take the time to ask for some advice or whatever, I really try to hit you back with a voice note or whatever. But for young comics, it's like, yeah, dude, you just got to start doing. It's, for me, I just was so hell-bent on, like, I'm not going to, I have no ties to the business. There's no nepotism going on. And, you know, I'm not some fucking Ashton Kutcher, Brad Pitt guy. So I got to just like fill up my tool belt, you know, with a lot of shit. So that's why just doing so much all the time. And it sucks, dude. It's a grind. And it's so tough to be patient and think about the money tomorrow, not the money today. The gigs tomorrow, not the gigs today. You're just like, fuck, dude. I just had 5 good shows in a row and I got to go and feature last minute in San Diego for this big headliner and I fucking crushed it kind of. I think, well, dude, maybe I'm ready for a special. Dude, it's just, you got to be delusional enough to be in this entertainment business, but then you also got to balance your delusion with like, pump the brakes, dude. Enjoy the process of getting better and don't just fucking think because you've been doing it that you're deserved anything. Nobody is. Because there's so many people trying to do it. There were probably 15 other, you know, candidates to play fucking Ryder Strong's part on Boy Meets World, but he fucking beat out all the other guys. You know, there's probably better examples, but that's the one that came to my mind. So fucking back off. Boy, I'm getting as angry as I was when I walked into an Abercrombie and Fitch pre-Coachella. My wife went to grab some items. I was like, let me go in there. I haven't been in here in a hot minute since I was 20, which is the time to go. I'm 41 now. You don't go to Abercrombie & Fitch when you're 41. You know why? Because it's like a baby walking into a dildo shop. They're like, hey, what are you doing here? Aw, you lost, buddy? You know what I'm saying? And then you feel so fucking judged and you know, shit on that you just end up buying stuff anyway. You're like, nah, I'm in the right spot. Trevlin, Tanner, Skyler, whatever your fucking name is, I'm in the right spot. And then I dropped $10,000 on shirts, and I'll wear both of them. I'll wear both of them. That's right. 2 shirts, 10 grand. That's a joke, but the shit ain't cheap. Pre-ripped. Abercrombie was one of the first companies that like pre-ripped their shit. I remember that in high school. I think it was 98, 99 when Abercrombie and Fitch came out. Everybody was like, you got Abercrombie & Fitch? Ooh, you must be fucking, your parents must be loaded. Because they were all pre-ripped. And I always thought that was funny. And then I got one of the hats and a couple shirts, and I was like, this is the comfiest shit I've ever worn. There's some Abercrombie shirts I can still think of that I wish I still had that were like go-to shirts of mine. But the jeans were always ripped, like somebody had gotten into a fight with a werewolf. When I worked at Universal Studios, there was an Abercrombie & Fitch in the middle of Universal City Walk. So where you had to enter, you know, to strap up my Wolverine claws or be a tour guide or hosting the Fear Factor live show, I'd have to walk through this entrance that was right next to Abercrombie. So sometimes it's like 8 a.m. Abercrombie's just opening. The door's open. You just get, you know, just this waft of unicorn queefs, which is what their cologne was. You're like, dude, was it titled that? No. But it smelled like it. Hey, Adam, how do you know what a unicorn queef smells like? Well, I'm imagining it's pungent and magical. It's not awful, but you don't want to put it on your body. But when you smell it, you just, you're like, good thing my mouth was closed. Does that make sense? So there's always a shirtless boy wonder at the front just making you feel bad. I mean, here I am, 26, 27, maybe even close to 30 when I was doing the Fear Factor and the New York Cop. And I'm walking in 30, some 19-year-old's like, what's up, dude? Dude, sorry. My abs just farted. You're like, what? He's like, psych, that was me. I'm so hot. Yeah, I pierced my ears last night. You're like, are you talking to me? Oh, yeah, sorry, dude. Just thought you wanted to talk to a hot guy. No, I'm good, Connor. How'd you know, dude? How'd you know? Can I interest you in some $900 pre-ripped sweatpants? They're perfect for strip clubs. Or getting your balls touched by a girl. No, I'm good, Connor. All right, dude. We'll keep it fresh, keep it lean, keep it mean. Hey, and you've been seen by Connor, Abercrombie and Fitch. Been here for 2 days, but loving it, dude. Moved out here from the Midwest. Okay, see you later, man. And by that time, I'm just, you know, I'm gone. But those guys love their job. But they also are stupid. When you work at Abercrombie, at least the fellas, all stupid. Just hot pieces of meat looking to fuck some MILFs. Hey, man, do you. Enjoy your life. No judgment, dude. No judgment. Too much bullshit to try to get in the way of somebody else's happiness, especially an Abercrombie employee. What else we got? Adam Devine, my boy Adam Devine, star of Righteous Gemstones, getting ready to go shoot another season. If you haven't seen the show, go check it out. It's a great show. Went and saw my boy Adam Devine in Newport Beach after the show at the Pendry Hotel. Adam has a new baby. Him and his wife Chloe have a new baby. And boy, is it cute, man. There's certain babies that make you want to have a baby, and this baby is one of those babies. My wife and I, both of our ovaries just started spinning because their child is cute. And a cute kid is a rare thing to come by. I got some friends with babies right now. Their eyes are like on different sides of their head. Whoops. But hey, you'll grow out of it. Some kids don't. Some kids grow out of it. I've seen high school pictures of some homies, guys and girls, where you're like, wow, what? You something happened. You like found the golden ticket and or got some surgeries, but everything's better. But some babies, you're like, this is what you're not getting a new deck. You got 2 fours and 2 sevens, and you're going to try to beat a full house. But also that's, you know, we get some of the smartest people that way. It's rare that you get a real, maybe it's not rare, a real like Bill Gates, right? Like a really smart fucking, like Steve Ballmer. These guys aren't, I mean, maybe they were hot in their day. Steve Jobs, I guess, was an attractive guy. Yeah, Steve Jobs, I'm thinking of Ashton Kutcher playing him, but yeah, he had that flowy long hair, Sam Fran, fucking ecstasy, just, you know, dangling off his tongue and his cock, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but yeah, if you're a real cute baby, the world is your oyster, because everyone wants to give you everything, all the clothes, all the treats, all the hugs, all the kisses. I will say, you leave a baby and you go, I'm glad I don't have a baby right now. Moments later, you're like, it'd be great to have a baby. They say there's no wrong time or right time, but I think they're kind of, I don't know. If we got pregnant right now, it'd be great, but I'd be like, man, I'm traveling so much, and I got so much going on. I don't want to be gone, you know? And we got Pickles and Bagel, and they're killing it. We love them like kids, like I talk about on stage. Dogs are not kids. You love them unconditionally like a kid, but they're not a kid. Neither is a bird. I have a friend with a bird, and she's like, they're my babies. I go, they're birds. They also, one of them was like, Adam, there goes the Jew. Like, they talk and they're racist. But whether it's a pet or a kid, you know, whatever's filling you up. But Adam and Chloe, they just love this baby, and he's so cute. And it was great to see him. And you got to make a trip to see your friends' babies. I've got a lot of friends' kids that I still haven't. I've met most of them, all the ones that matter. But I haven't been around someone in quite some time, which is wild, because it's like, what a weird thing to be like, I met you when you were 5, and then let's say I don't see him again until they're like 18, and then like one of them's like, you know, asking if he can, you know, bum a joint at like a festival or something, you know, and I'm like, what, dude, Cameron, yeah, what's up, Uncle Adam, oh, dude, I've met you once, I'm Uncle, all right, I guess you know how to get some free weed from me, don't tell your dad, oh, what's up, Dad's here, yeah, hey, we came together. First time smoking weed. Smoking pot and drinking with your parents was always something I looked up to. Maybe because I only had one parent. You know, I think my mom let me have a sip of a beer once. I was like 16. I got drunk for the first time when I was 14 on accident. I was doing this play called The Wiz. It's like the Motown version of The Wizard of Oz in Issaquah, Washington at the Village Theater. And I was one of the youngest kids. There was a kid in 6th grade. I was in 8th grade. And then it was all high school and college kids doing a summer stock theater production of The Wiz at the Village Theater. And there was a big cast party. And they go, Adam. And I'm like, you know, I'm chummy with everybody. I had no problem trying to fit in, being the goofy kid. But I knew there was going to be booze there. And my mom even was like, you know, I got a ride from a buddy. and he wasn't going to drink too much. My mom was like, be careful. It was my first real party, which is so funny because you watch the videos in high school. You hear about the stories about drinking and driving. We were probably an hour away from where we grew up. And Michael Tompkins, brother of my pals Bryn and Matt, who I grew up with in Seattle, in Lake Forest Park, the Tompkins family, legendary family. Steve ran the Village Theater. And we're at this cast party in Issaquah, Washington. And I took a triple shot of tequila and I never drank anything. I think I had, again, maybe a sip of a beer shortly after that. So this is my first taste of booze. And it burned so hard. And it was the best acne I've ever done. That shit should be on my reel. I was like, and it burned and they were all cheering me on. And by the way, it was peer pressure at its finest. The director, who was like 35, again, I'm fucking 14. And then the two leads who were in college, so, you know, 20 something, 20 maybe. And they're like, Adam Ray, dude, shot. And I was like, obviously. That's why I came in the kitchen, guys. I'm going to do stuff. Shot, triple shot tequila. It's triple, right? Hell yeah. No, I've never had one. What's up? Yeah, no, it tastes good, though. It's just booze, right? It's like root beer, but on steroids. I haven't had those either. You got them? Because I'll do them. I'm pretty much down to do anything because I want to be cool in front of you guys because that's how it works when you're 14. So I took a triple shot of tequila and just fucking felt that burn from the esophagus all the way through my liver. I would love to have seen the Magic School Bus take a trip down that fucking slippery road. Holy shit. Immediately felt like I was going to puke out of my ass. And I got a little buzz. And I think I took one more later. And then I fell asleep on the stairs for a little bit. And then I talked to a girl I had a crush on. And then the guy in the play that was having sex with her swooped in. He goes, what are you talking to this loser for? And he goes, just kidding, man. So I took that shot. That was fucking cool. And I was like, thanks, man. tell me what it feels like. He's like, what? I go, with, yeah, I saw you're going to hook him. Tell me what it feels like. I didn't say that. But I probably thought it because I was a little drunky and a little just out of my element. 14 and drunk. You're out of your element. I know some people. Divine was telling me at 12 and 13 in Omaha they were boozing. I mean, that's a guy. I didn't know what my liver was capable of until I started drinking with Adam Devine and Kyle Walsh, two of the best fellas of all time. Anyway, shout out to Adam. Shout out to Chloe. Shout out to the baby. We got to wrap this baby up. I'll tell you this, guys. We got some exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. My crowdwork special, Bigfoot and Cigarettes, is on my YouTube channel. There's an image for that. Go check it out. Already up to, I think, almost 140,000 in a few days. Appreciate that. That's fucking rad. I'm very proud of it. It's 45 minutes. Cut from the special that'll be called Like and Subscribe that I believe is going to drop in June on YouTube. And very proud of that. We cut 45 minutes of crowd work from the four shows that we didn't use. So it flows together pretty well. And it's a real fun watch. It looks great. It sounds great. It's on my YouTube, Bigfoot and Cigarettes. Go check it out. And of course, May 8th, Dr. Phil Live with Tony Hinchcliffe, Cam Patterson, and William Montgomery live from the Comedy Mothership, dropping May 8th on my YouTube. Check that out. Of course, subscribe to the YouTube of About Last Night so you can get clips, videos, episodes. Got some great guests coming up. Can't wait for you guys to see those. Of course, Instagram, Twitter, About Last Night. Follow us there. Dr. Phil merch, you know where it is, baby, right there. We got some new hoodies with a cool silhouette of my face as Phil that are selling like fucking hotcakes. So go grab those at AdamRayComedy.com. I'm bringing them to all my live shows as well, signing them, giving them out, having a great time. Again, live shows, AdamRayComedy.com for all those tickets. Boston, Seattle, Chicago, Columbus, Philly, Naples, Florida, Madison, Minnesota, Cleveland, San Diego, San Francisco, tons of cities. Can't wait. June 4th, Dr. Phil Live Comedy Store. June 26th, Dr. Phil Live at the Comedy Store, June 29th and June 30th, Portland and Seattle. We might release a few more tickets for those and a few other special things that I'll announce in the next couple weeks, but I appreciate the love. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your weekend. And fucking again, drphillive.tv for the May 6th live stream with Bert Kreischer, Mark Normand, Dr. Pimple Popper, and the Goo Goo Dolls and special guests that are going to blow your mind. So I can't wait. All right, be good to each other. Smile when you don't feel like it. And man, wish I knew the name of this coffee so I could shout it out. But my eye has been twitching from drinking too much coffee, so maybe it's time to stop that. If you're listening to this, I just did some really cartoony eye twitch that I did as a joke when I was on the FaceTime with a buddy of mine walking through the lobby at the hotel in Miami, and some guy goes, "Dude, are you all right?" And I was like, "Oh, I was doing a bit." He goes, "What's the bit?" Good night, everybody.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.